Lunch with Leon.
Hello and welcome to Lunch with Leon, an unusual sort of episode, this one coming up, which I hope you're going to like. A number of you will know I have been on my travels during October, and one of the things I did on my travels was to spend a week at the Australian-British Infrastructure Catalyst, which is an event that takes place every year, alternately in the UK and in Australia. And this time, for the first time, it lasted 5 days and was in Sydney, Brisbane and Melbourne. So I was with some good friends. I was with Lord Peter Hendy. I was with the former Transport for London Commissioner and my old colleague, Mike Brown. I was also with Laura Schoaf, who's the Chief Executive of the West Midlands Combined Authority. Our old friend, Neil Scales, who after an illustrious career here in the UK, has been the Director General for Transport in Queensland. And we also met up, of course, with now Sydney resident Howard Collins. Howard and I worked together in TfL. We broadly did the Olympic Games together operationally in 2012, and we found ourselves together again in Sydney. Also on our UK contingent, Bridget Rosewell was there. Of course, she's famous from her time at the Greater London Authority, where she was the economic advisor. She has, of course, also an illustrious career at the National Infrastructure Commission. She's been the chair of the DVSA and also currently is chair of the M6 Toll Company. And finally, another surprise while we were there is Scott Dunn brought over his custom denning electric vehicle, a new single-decker bus. Not only was it very exciting to see it, but it's about to go on a ship and come to the UK, where it will be on demonstration service here in the UK. So I had all those people together, so it seemed a pity not to ask some of them about how they felt about the Catalyst and what they were doing and why it was worth travelling so far in order to attend. I'm going to start off with the leader of the whole event. I was really privileged to meet Tiki Fullerton, who is the Chief Executive of the Australia-British Chamber of Commerce. Yeah, she's a former journalist, worked on ABC and Sky in Australia. So it was great to catch up with Tiki. And of course, I asked her what the Catalyst was all about.
Catalyst is an experience for anyone who's traveling with it, and they are all in their own way hugely engaged in the space around infrastructure, whether it's from the UK or Australia. It's a time spent together where you've got an extraordinary level of thought leadership, where we attack the big issues and have a really interesting time. It's the soup, I suppose, which is, I'm going to mix my soup and secret sauce here, but it's the soup that you get when you mix all these incredible people. And usually we've had these catalysts sometimes in the UK, sometimes here. They've been going every year pretty much since 2015. And we started them with a really interesting group of British leaders, particularly in the transport space. And that has carried through and we have built on it. And it just provides over a sort of 3 or 4, or in this case, this most recent time in the last month, 5-day period here in Australia, the great opportunity for people to really think ahead and also make some really interesting connections, hence the word catalyst.
Yeah, sure. The thing that struck me most of all was how common some of our issues are in Australia and in UK. Most obviously skills, shortage of skills, the sorts of skills, the output from our education establishments, from our universities. And I was really surprised to find out how much we had in common with that. So there's one of my learnings. Did you see the same as that?
Well, absolutely. And that's what the Chamber sees as the great value add here, which is the knowledge exchange that comes from these tremendous learnings. And you mentioned skills there, another really interesting issue that both the UK and Australia is facing is this issue of housing and how we pull housing. And that's where this catalyst has really grown from transport into not just transport, but how hubs within transport can create precincts, all that sort of thing. And housing is a huge challenge for both the UK and Australia. Another one is energy transition. So you're seeing similar challenges and different ideas on some occasions as to how we meet those challenges. And I think that's another real sort of value take up for the catalyst.
No. Well, it certainly was amazing and fabulous to catch up with so many leaders in Australia as well. And one of the things we did was we went to Brisbane, because Brisbane's got the Olympics in 2032. And you'll remember me saying that I thought that was pretty terrifying, because for all the Olympic Games in the recent past, and including the one that I was involved with in London in 2012, we had 7 years. And the advantage of 7 years is you haven't got much time for procrastination. You've got to get going. And you've got quite a good chance that many of the people involved now will be there in 7 years' time. But for 11 years, that's not the case, is it? And one of the things we drew out, didn't we, from the Brisbane 2032 people was that this 11 years is more of a curse than it is a blessing.
Exactly. You know, there's yourself, Leon. Obviously, we had Lord Hendy, Peter Hendy. We had Mike Brown. We had Laura Shove, who runs the West Midlands and with the Commonwealth experience. Look, there was a whole lot of fascinating input to sort of land in Brisbane. But to hear that they felt it was something of a curse, it was this great swapping of ideas of, well, no, it shouldn't be a curse. You've jolly well got to get on with it and value that extra time and get everybody, including bureaucrats and particularly the politicians, to start now.
Yeah. And I hadn't realised really how involved Ian Botham, Lord Botham, is in promoting trade. So he's a UK trade ambassador, and he was with us at our opening night, and he was with us at that fabulous dinner at the Opera House at the end. He's got a lot of energy in this, hasn't he?
Look, he does. He was brilliantly appointed, if I may say so, by Boris Johnson when he was Prime Minister. It was one of those really good things that Boris Johnson did, and to make him our trade envoy. And he really he's got a bit of, skin in the game here, because he's got a little bit of an investment in the wine business down here. So he sees it from that perspective. But also, having spent so much time here through the game, the great game of cricket, he does have a fantastic take on our relationship at a cultural level. And he comes down here and he really inspires people. And it's quite extraordinary how many very important people, Leon, just love that selfie as well.
And yes, you'd be amazed how many people wanted their photograph taken with Ian Botham. My next guest is the chair of the Australian-British Infrastructure Catalyst, Phil Davis. Phil is another old colleague of mine, because he too was at TfL, Director of Traffic Operations, and he was around during the introduction of congestion charging and so on. But now he's in Australia. He's an engineer, of course, by trade. He's been the infrastructure advisory partner at Deloitte, but he's also the chair of ABIC. So needless to say, I asked him how he thought it was going.
We've had a very action-packed week. We've spent a couple of days in Melbourne, a day in Brisbane, and now 2 days in Sydney. We've had some very high caliber representatives from the UK joining us this time, including a good self, but also, you know, we've had some really good representation across those three states. Talking about the current and future challenges in the infrastructure sector, particularly around decarbonisation.
That's brilliant. And we've also had a couple of meetings, haven't we, with the Minister here, Jo Haylen, and she's with us Friday morning.
She is, yeah. We enjoyed the Minister's, or then Shadow Minister's, company in the UK last year, and she really deeply appreciated all the insights that yourself and others were able to provide around lessons learned in the UK transport system, but particularly in Transport for London, and the place that transport connections have got in improving amenity and connecting communities, but also a different way of thinking about the system. I think that's been the big takeaway from last year, and we're certainly seeing evidence of the new state government in New South Wales putting some of that operational system intelligence into place.
Brilliant. Well, we've had an amazing time. The UK contingent, led by Peter, Lord Hendy, Richmond Hill, Mike Brown's here, I'm here, and of course our good friend Howard Collins is here, who's now the Coordinator General for Transport for New South Wales. So we've had a really good time. The weather's been brilliant. We've seen lots of different sorts of transport, and we've had some amazing conversations. I think that's going to be good for commerce between the UK and Australia.
Absolutely, absolutely.
My next guest, who was with us throughout our time in Australia, is Bridget Rosewell. Bridget is well known to many people across the infrastructure world for the work she's done with the National Infrastructure Commission and all her many other duties. I first knew her, of course, when she was the economic advisor to the Greater London Authority. So I asked Bridget what she thought of the Catalyst.
Oh, I think that the scale of the ambition that is being shown here and how we need to pick that ambition up and transfer it back into the UK. If we could do that, we would make such a difference to the infrastructure investments that we make.
So we've had lots of support here. We've got the Minister, Joe Halen. We've had some top people from across the industry, supported by Lendlease, supported by APP, supported by numerous sponsors. I've got the impression there's a huge opportunity for trade with Australia and the UK.
Oh, completely. And it's a particularly exchange of skills, both Australians who can come and work in the UK and bring their skill and expertise, but also how from the UK we can send people. And everybody benefits from that because you learn new stuff, you get new ideas, and that is really what makes successful investment.
And young people, if you're under 35, you can come and work in Australia without a visa, isn't that?
That's my understanding. I'm not sure how, I think 3 years you can come for without a visa, work here, learn. It's a great country.
Well, it is a wonderful country. It's got a wonderful climate. We're currently in the Lendlease offices looking out across Darling Harbour and, of course, huge amounts of development here. I don't know about you, Bridget, but everywhere we've been in Melbourne, we've been in Brisbane, I was counting the number of cranes. And wherever there are cranes, there are developments, right?
Well, we used to do that in London. We used to count cranes in London.
We did.
And we still do to a certain extent. Yes, of course, that's development. But what really matters, though, is how you think about doing your development. The density, that you've got access to public transport, that you've got access to where you might live and work, so that it's thought of not just as here's the transport, here's the development, here's the regeneration, but that you put the whole piece together with schools and hospitals and everything else that you need.
Brilliant. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Fantastic. So next, I spoke to a really good old friend of mine. For much of my transport career, I have been in touch with Neil Scales back in the days when we bought buses from Northern Counties, a famous bus manufacturer in the northwest of the UK. Later, when he was chief executive and the director general at Mersey Travel. And more recently, Neil has been the director general of the Department of Transport and Main Roads in Queensland, a job he did for over 10 years. And has recently retired, although he's still really very active, as people who know Neil would know that he would be. So, of course, since we live on opposite sides of the world, we only see each other occasionally. Last time we saw each other was in 2019, of course, just before the pandemic. But I was really pleased to catch up with Neil. He was with us throughout the Catalyst, and in particular, I was interested in his take.
It's been absolutely fantastic catching up with old friends and colleagues, but also the stuff that Airbec is doing is cutting edge, so it's a real opportunity for not only to contribute, but actually top up my skills and knowledge as well. So it's hit all the marks, and there's a lot of synergies between the UK and Australia. Obviously, there's a Trade Commissioner as well, who we met this week, as you know, too, Ian Botham. So I think everything's set fair, and I think there's a lot we can do together.
I mean, for me, what's amazing is the scale of the development here. I mean, everywhere you look, there are cranes, there's road building, there's metro building. I mean, everywhere you look here, there's development. We're seeing some projections of huge population growth for all the cities, Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane here. I mean, this place is growing like mad. There's a huge amount of investment. And it's probably fair to say there's a bit of a competition for skills.
Oh, huge. And we're probably about at least 100,000 engineers short of where we need to be, but that's not just here, it's throughout the rest of the world, I guess. But I'm a Keynesian engineer, not a monetarist engineer, and I like building things, so we need more ports, airports and infrastructure for the population. But because we're seen as a bit of a safe haven after COVID, and our banking system here is pretty good, it's pretty stable, so we're getting massive influxes of immigrants, as well as people moving here from New Zealand, for example, and that's just across the ditch. That's only 3 hours away. So it's not people just coming here to visit. It's basically people going to visit and then live. So you're absolutely right, Leon. We need all this extra infrastructure. We need it very quickly.
Well, it's been a great conference. It's now Friday, so we've been conferencing for 5 days. We've got Joe Halen, the minister, this morning speaking to us. We've had some absolute giants of industry, all the major companies here, like we're currently in the premises of Lendlease, but all the big developers are here. The banks are here in large numbers. We've had a tremendous conference. For me, the best thing is how much we learned and how much in common we have that we didn't really know.
Yeah, and I think that's absolutely right. And we've all got the same problems. we've got different problems here, I suppose, that we've got lots of land and not many people, you know, not much people in it, I guess. 26.5 million people compared to 67 million people in the UK. So okay, we've got lots of space, but 85% of Australians are within 50 kilometres of the coast. So there's a lot of development around the coastline.
Amazing. Brilliant. Neil, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Lunch with Leon, in association with Passenger Transport magazine. Check out passengertransport.co.uk.
So a real surprise joining us in Australia was Scott Dunn, who runs Custom Denning, the famous Australian vehicle manufacturer. And Scott didn't just come, he brought his latest bus, which is a pure EV single-decker bus. Of course, right-hand drive for the Australian market, but the real surprise was that this vehicle is actually coming to the UK, and it will be in the UK early in 2024. So for the latest offering on EVs in the UK, I asked Scott to tell us all about it.
Okay, so it's going to be a fully stainless steel built vehicle in Western Sydney. It's 12 metres, it's going to have ZF drive axles, ZF drive motor, all European components, but it's going to have the build quality of an Australian product. In Australia, vehicles here have to be built for a 25-year minimum life. So hence why it's going to last 25 years on the road in the UK.
So what you're saying is, despite the cost of shipping from the UK, because it's going to last so long, it's going to be tremendous value for money.
It is. I mean, we can actually, in Australia, we already compete with Chinese imports, BYD and Yutong, and we can compete with Chinese imports into the UK at the same price also, yeah.
That's amazing. So when might we see it in the UK?
So the first one leaves Sydney on the 7th of November, arrives in the UK mid-January, and then we've got another three arrive in mid-February. Yeah,
so that's extraordinary. So what gave you the idea of building here for the UK market?
25 years in the UK, it's a no-brainer. I'm obviously a very passionate, whilst I live in Australia, I'm very passionate about the UK. I'm very British, so it's a dream for me to build a vehicle where I live and export it back to my home country. It's just perfect for me.
Well, of course, I had the privilege of seeing it yesterday. It looks really well built. It's got a lovely style to it, hasn't it? That's a really good fit out inside. I mean, it's built to a really, really high standard.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And because of the conditions in Australia, we have to build it to real harsh conditions. So that's why we're really happy it's going to do well in the UK. I mean, we're going to export from Australia in the short term, but my ideal situation is we actually build it locally in the UK for the UK market.
Oh, really? Oh, that would be exciting too, wouldn't it? Oh, wouldn't. So how would you make the same standards there as you're able to do here?
Yeah, we've got a lot of processes we can bring into the UK straight away. The way the engineers, the first stage Irish design, then the process will drive through the culture in the business. We've got no concerns at all, really.
Brilliant. Oh, well, wish you luck with that.
Yeah, thank you.
So my final guest, somebody I worked with a long time ago, Howard Collins. He's currently the Coordinator General for New South Wales, and he's responsible for all the operations of public transport, roads and ferry services. Howard's been out in Australia now for over 10 years. Before that, he was Chief Operating Officer at London Underground. I used to see him every evening at the London Olympics as we oversaw the turnout from the Olympic stadiums out back into the public transport network. And I could always hear Howard Collins with his loud hailer, getting people to move quickly into Stratford Station, often on the underground, by encouraging people to go all the way down the platform, because on the Jubilee line, first class is at the front. Anyway, Howard is now a resident of Sydney. We get to see each other from time to time. He's very active in the transport movement in Australia and in particular in New South Wales. So I wanted to ask him what we've been talking about.
Well, we've been covering every imaginable subject you could think about. It's not just about transport and infrastructure. It's about placemaking. It's about people. We've been we've had, I think, one of the exciting experiences where exchanging information between two nations where neither of us know the answer, but putting them together, you get that some of the parts is greater than the whole. And I think it's been really fantastic. I'm quite excited about next September when we get back to the UK and do it all again.
So you have worked in both places extensively with us at TfL and London Underground, you and I together at the Olympics, and now you've been here in Australia, now what, 10 years, 11
Absolutely.
Years? What sort of changes have you seen here? Because all I see is development.
Yeah, it is. I love working in London. It's one of those fantastic, historic, beautiful cities. but Sydney is like London on steroids. People ask me what it's like. I said, working in Sydney is like working in London, but living in Barbados. But it is, the skyline changes every 5 minutes. There is great development, but also we're now building the arteries and veins of the city, which is the transport infrastructure. We're opening light rail next year. We've got Sydney Metro. We're doing a great tour this afternoon of what I think is the most fantastic station in maybe in Australia in terms of Central Station. So it is coming together. But boy, come back in 2 years' time, you'll see there is another big growth. And since I've been here, little statistic, we're 23 and a half, maybe 24 million. We're now 26 and a half million. In another 10 years, we're probably going to be 30 million people. That's now half the size of the UK, and it's growing pretty fast.
And something like 50% of the population lives within 50 kilometres of the coast, is that right?
Yeah, we all hang on to the coast, although regional towns are really developing. I think the other thing is we are a young population, excluding myself, of course. You know, average age, you know, still below 40s. 500,000 people will come to Australia, skilled people, for the first time as immigrants into this country, which is fantastic. And the diversity of our population is really, really saying that this is a global city, a global country.
And for transport professionals, here you've got very long distance heavy rail, very long distance rail freight, light rail, tram, everything.
You've got, if you looked in the textbook of transport, you'd be able to look up every subject matter, whether it's heavy haul, 1.8 metre, you know, coal trains with 9 locomotives, or a light rail, or as I saw in Brisbane, the metro, little double articulated, massive long bus. We have it all here. But I think what we may be behind in terms of some of the technologies, and this is where Europe, and particularly the UK, were able to leverage and understand what has the experience been in electrification of buses and hydrogen. How have you dealt with the big conundrums? And this is where I think we all realised that we don't need to reinvent the wheel. We actually need to just share ideas and then get on with what is an important task, which is getting great public transport, great transport links, and great opportunities for this, you know, this great country.
It's amazing. We're here in Barangaroo at Lendlease. We're overlooking the ferries. We're on the edges of Darling Harbour. One of the monorail stations has been demolished, but there's still one surviving. So for transport professionals, there's absolutely everything here and more.
I think any of the cities around the world, I think this is the most beautiful water harbour city in the world. And as you say, I'm looking out at an Emerald Class 2 ferry. I'm looking forward to another 7 ferries coming all the way from Tasmania, which we're building. We're seeing infrastructure investment that we've never seen before in public transport, and a joined up government today, which is really looking at how do we place make as well as provide those arteries and veins of the city with public transport. And a renaissance on busing and those people. And Leon, you're a bit of a bus man, like perhaps many of our colleagues here today. The renaissance on providing that public transport network, which isn't just building metros or upgrading railway lines, but also it's about building new bus infrastructure, which this city has 40% of its, sort of million or so people users are using the bus network.
I think we better go back. Howard Collins, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So there then, our man on the ground, Howard Collins, extolling the virtues in particular about what's going on in Sydney, in New South Wales. So the Australian British Chamber of Commerce was delighted that the Catalyst was sponsored by so many worthy organisations, including the Victorian Government, New South Wales Government, Lendlease, Mott MacDonald, the APP Group, BMD, Langer Rook, Network Rail Consulting, Deloitte and the Connected Places Catapult. All of their work made it possible. So thank you very much indeed. And also thank you to this podcast sponsor, which is Passenger Transport Magazine. You can get your Passenger Transport Magazine online or in print. Just go to their website, passengertransport.co.uk. So this has been Lunch with Leon. I hope you've all enjoyed our trip halfway around the world to see what's going on and what we share in Australia. And to finish off, I'm going to go back to Tiki.
Well, we the catalyst is going back to the UK. And I think it's going to be pretty exciting. We've decided that we are definitely, we're going to do a day in London, but then we are going north somewhere. I mean, it's been mooted. There's a strong emphasis on going sort of Birmingham, Manchester, but we're still deciding where we go. But it'll definitely be around this whole idea of, if you like, the infrastructure ecosystem now, whether it be from, transport and connections, but very much this precinct making, energy, smart cities. Oh, there's so much to talk about.
Tiki, well, look, thank you very much indeed. I'm especially grateful. It's early in the morning for me. It's evening for you. In fact, it's Friday evening for you, so you can clock off now. Thank you so much for joining us. I've been talking to Tiki Fullerton, who is the chief executive of the Australia-British Chamber of Commerce, who was our team leader at the Catalyst that we've just been talking about. Tiki, miss you already. Look forward to seeing you in the UK in September 24. All good wishes for the Chamber. I promise you all the people here that were part of the Catalyst are still actively talking about how much we enjoyed it. So thanks very much for joining us.
Leon, you were a gem and a huge contributor. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Lunch with Leon.